Good morning, ZB. You are tuned into The Kickback with me, your host, Simon B. Frazier. I have with me the J. Alexander, singer-songwriter.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm good, darling. How about you?
I'm good. Where are you from? We know you came here from Waldorf, but where are you from?
Yeah, I grew up in D.C., but originally, most of my life, I've been out in Waldorf, so.
Okay, what part of D.C.?
Southeast, Anacostia Projects.
How was that? What was that like growing up in D.C.?
It was a little bit different. I mean, but my father was in the Air Force, so we lived right outside the base right there in Anacostia, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't too bad, you know.
So is that why you didn't go to college? Because the father, you was following your daddy's footsteps?
We threw right. We ran right into that one, huh? Yeah, just a little bit. I knew it would make him proud, you know what I'm saying? That's always been like a huge mission for me. And I was a little cut up in school anyway, so it made it a lot easier to make the military my first option instead of my last one.
So it put you in check.
Put me in check, man. You know what I'm saying? Got me back on the right path.
So why you ain't go all the way with it? Why is you singing? Why we gotta listen to you sing?
You gotta listen to me sing, because that's what I love to do. You know, I had the opportunity to do the singing thing while I was in the military. So it kind of got me back on to making music, create my own music, write my own music, that kind of thing. And you got to listen to it, man, because I love it too much.
I feel that.
Yeah, I love it too much.
Do you feel like it's harder to make it as a singer?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it is harder to make it as a singer, you know, because there's so many musicians when it comes to the music, period, especially here in the area and all over. I think it's just singing is not the biggest fad that we have out here right now.
You know
what I'm saying? Musically, it's trap, it's rap, it's, you know, it's a catchy beat. And, you know, R&B isn't always looked at as, you know what I'm saying, the catchiest music to listen to, especially with our generation right now.
Yeah,
you know
definitely.
What I'm saying? The younger generation, it's not something. Now, we throw that to our parents, you know, 40, 50 years old, they loving it. You know what I'm saying? They loving every minute of it, but with our generation, man, it's a little bit harder.
So why not just become a rapper so you can move faster?
Girl, I can't rap. You know I can't rap. I told you I can't rap to save my life. I've never have been able to, and I will never try. You know what I'm saying? I just try to stay in my lane, man. I've never been able to rap.
Have you had a rapper on your song yet?
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard any that had.
Yeah, my first project, All Out of Apologies, I had two rappers. One of them is one of my best friends, Butter. But another one is a good friend of mine, G Major.
Mm-hmm.
And G Major was on a track we had called Soiree. That was just the first project. And I've had Butter on other songs. I think he was on there twice on my first EP. G Major was on there once, and now on my album that I'm working on right now, I have like probably four Sweet rap man. Features in there.
That's
you know?
Good.
Yeah.
You definitely should have that. So I was paying attention to you on Twitter, and you be ranting a little bit sometimes. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hey, I'm an R&B singer. We supposed to, you know what I'm saying, show that sensitive side. So
you're not too happy with how you have to move musically now with social media being like very, very big, because I know that you were talking about like back then there was no social media.
Exactly.
You know,
and it was a genuine process to discovering musicians and discovering artists in general. And I kind of feel like social media kind of killed that. You feel me?
Yeah.
They're looking at following numbers, comments, things of that nature, when most of your following might not even jump into social media, or maybe you have an older crowd that doesn't jump into the social media aspect or realm of the business these days. And so you lose out on a lot of actual statistics when it comes to fan base and things of that nature. Because these days they want to know, oh, what's your following?
Yep, that's the number.
How many followers you got? And then they look into, all right, how many views you getting on YouTube?
Of course.
Everything has to do with media these days. And so I feel like it you take away from the artistic process. Because like I said, back in the day, you didn't have social media to bend on or lean on. People was going out and discovering it. Now they sitting in the office and they searching the web. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So you lose out on the real artistic process. You lose out on that live feed. You lose out on that listening to people perform live without the radio, without auto-tune and all the other effects on everybody's voices. You lose out on genuine musicians.
Well,
when you're just going to
We know
media.
That since times have changed, it's not going back. do you feel like it's going to be a lot harder for you to make it, or you feel like you're going to get the views, you're going to get the following pretty soon?
I think I can make it without the whole social media. Wow. I think it just really has to do a lot with the avenue and the route that you take when it comes to who you're presenting. Because, be honest with you, it's not how many people listen to your music, it's how many right people listen to your music. You know what I'm saying? I could have one person that listen to the song, and you could have 100 people that listen to your song, but I had that one right person that listened to it that could change my life, and you had that 100 people that was just going to listen to it and not share it and not tell nobody that they heard it, you feel me?
Yeah.
Not ever give their opinion or comment. So I think it's more so has to do with how many people that's right you have listening to your music.
Yeah, so you do care a lot about what's going on in the world. Does that ever reflect in your music?
At this time, it really hasn't. I've kind of always tried to write my music on personal experiences, relationship-wise, or personal experiences from, you know, friends and things of that nature. I've written a couple of songs that had nothing to do with me, and it had something to do with what I had to hear from my homeboy or what I had to hear from my homegirl or something of that nature. But I do. There was a point when I was still in the military before I ever came back home where I was trying to write one of those Michael Jackson Heal the World kind of songs.
So where that's at? When we gonna hear that?
I mean, it never really failed into fruition the way I intended it to. And I think it still had a lot to do with my mindset when I was there and what I could actually do when it came to recording and things of that nature. I really didn't have all that I have in front of me now. And you know, beats and things like that after a while get lost. I've always been a type when I got something in front of me, I'm gonna knock it out. But if I don't knock it out, it probably ain't never gonna get knocked. You know what I'm saying? But I would love to jump back on it, you know what I'm saying, and get back into it. Because there's ideas out there. And, you know, I have a couple of friends that's artists that are still overseas. And he has a track called Believe. And, you know what I'm saying, he's doing that whole for the culture kind of music. And of course, I feel as though everybody does have to take the time to actually do that for the culture kind of music and actually put out meaningful lyrics and things of that nature. But that whole love aspect when that comes to R&B, man, it's always there. Of course. Never going anywhere. So I always got that time to really jump back into it and do what I need to do.
I know it sounds like it's kind of like a cliche question, like what sets you apart from everybody. But as a singer, people can really sing.
Yeah.
And if everybody is singing about the similar things, like, how would that make you, like, step out there? Like, why would I choose you to, like, become that star and not the next person that can sing and is singing about the same thing that you are?
I think what sets every artist apart is not really what they're singing. It has everything to do with their delivery and how they're delivering their lyrics, rather, instead of saying just how they singing it. Like you said, there's plenty of people out here that can sing. Mm-hmm. And you've honestly heard more artists that are less talented make it than you've heard artists that are more talented make it. And that's because it has to do with their delivery, not with their sound. You feel me? Everybody's sound can be different in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And of course, I believe my sound is different in a certain way that doesn't compare to everybody else's here. R&B. A lot of the legends that we had before, people got to remember they weren't just R&B legends. They were actually pop legends. You know what I'm saying? Michael Jackson, Prince. You feel me? We're pop legends, honestly, because their music was actually pop. We throw it in the category of R&B these days because we kind of don't know what we're talking about sometimes. And so, you know, I feel like that's what would set my music apart is the delivery, even on the track looking. You know what I'm saying? It has a pop feel.
Yeah, I like that.
And but it's still R&B as soon as we come back to the verse. You know, I've never tried to step out of my boundaries when it comes to what I can do musically. I know what I could do. I stay in my lane.
Of course.
And what a lot of people end up doing is stepping out of their lane to give you the sound that somebody already else has instead of staying true and genuine it is. And that's when you kind of lose your balance. Because everybody, you have to know who you are and where you are as an artist before, you know, you could really make a stamp on your music or your city or your area. So, and I feel like I've done that in my own way, growing musically, you know, growing a small fan base right there where we come from. You got to take over where you come from before you can
definitely.
Move out anywhere else.
It's hard, though.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely
y'all
hard.
Y'all ain't supportive.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's true, though. You know, people aren't supportive, but... And DMV has always been the area, man, that hop on last. They just always have been the area, you know, believe it or not, DMV are followers when it comes to who is doing what musically.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even want to say that your music is good until LA says your music is good.
Exactly.
Until Atlanta says your music is good. And then DMV says, oh, yeah, that joint hot. He from here.
Exactly.
And it's like, man, I tried to send you this track a year ago. And you wasn't with it. Mm-hmm. And now that I went to LA and they said it was cool, and I went to Atlanta and they said it was cool, you know, so I kind of look at the DMV as one of the hardest places to make it because the DMV does not love anybody musically until somebody else loves you. You know what I'm saying? So I know as they say it's hard to make it in New York, it's hard to make it in LA, it's hard to make it in Atlanta, you know, it's hard to make it musically, period. But I feel like if you can make it musically in the DMV, and you can make that
anywhere. Definitely. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, they get love once they leave. And then once people here start seeing the love again,
we
want to
claim it like, oh, yeah, he's from the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's plenty of artists that had to do that. They had to make that step, you know what I'm saying, outside of the DMV to actually make sure that their music was getting, you know what I'm saying, solidified the way it was supposed to or the way they deserved it to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still, man... I know it's hard, but I still got hope in the DMV, man, to really be able to pull everything that I need out of me so that I can do that.
So I want to learn a little bit about Jay as the person.
Okay.
So how I'm going to find that out is I'm going to play a game called With It or Quit It. I don't know if you heard of it, but I'm going to give you some statements or questions, and you tell me if you're with it, that means you agree, or quit it, like, nah, I ain't really with it, but
okay.
Then you got to tell me why.
Oh, I got to tell you why?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
I know all, man. All right. So let's start with this one. I had an abortion for a man 4 years ago that I didn't love. It was a very hard decision, but I'm glad I made it. Now I'm scared to tell the man that I love the one thing that he hates most about women. Yes, he hates abortions and anyone that has one. A part of me wants to tell him so I could finally be free, but the other part of me is saying no because I might lose him. I hate myself for this, but I think I'll die holding on to the secret. Like,
so am I with her holding on to the secret?
Yeah.
I'm with her holding on to her secret.
Because you feel like your past is your past. It has nothing.
Your past is your past. And then that was a choice that she made. It has no relevance right then.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with whoever she's speaking to now, whoever she's in love with, whoever she's afraid of losing. And then that's a lot of, I mean, you got to move on from past things. So.
Are you for abortions?
I am.
Okay.
If that's a woman's decision, I don't really feel like that has anything to do with anybody else other than the person that's going
that's
through
having,
it. You feel
yeah.
me? That's your decision. And everybody has times for when they feel as though they're ready for what's going on. I know a lot of people say you make the bed you lay in.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, but somebody bought the bed first.
True.
And I always go back to somebody bought the bed. You know, ain't nobody getting beds for free. Somebody bought the bed first. And so I always feel as though, man, that's somebody. That's somebody's choice. That has nothing to do with me or you unless me and you are the ones that did it.
Yeah.
You feel me? So...
All right, so Flint, Michigan needs water. The government ain't doing nothing, and neither these famous people who keep talking about it. These people literally have all the money in the world to help fix the problem, but I guess the problem is deeper than money can solve. I'm starting to lose respect for the government and these celebrities as they sit back and watch ordinary people try to make a living for themselves suffer. With it or quit it? You agree with that or nah?
I agree with it to a certain extent. You know, I kind of feel like, yeah, there is a lot more that celebrities and, you know, politicians can do to help any situation that's, you know what I'm saying, catastrophic nationally. You feel me? I feel like there's more that everybody can do. But there's a lot that's being done that we also don't know about. You feel me? So I don't think we can always go off of what we see on the surface.
True.
You know, a lot of research goes undone. mm-hmm. when we start responding to situations that happening in the world. A lot of research goes undone. We see one article and we react.
Exactly.
Or we hear one video, we watch Media. One video and we react instead of seeing that video and then saying to ourselves, like, oh, let me look into it. You feel
exactly.
me? But I do agree with the fact that there is a lot more that, you know what I'm saying, celebrities can do for Flint. They can do for, you know, Florida. They can do for Louisiana. You know what I'm saying? When we have these national crisis.
Yeah.
You feel me? I do feel like there's more we could do.
Of course. So this person says, females that smoke, whether it's weed, cigarette, cigar, hookah, whatever, they're ugly inside and out. It's really not cute for y'all to be smoking for likes on the gram or views on Snap. Just quit it and quit smoking while you're at it. And the guys that encourage this, I hope y'all okay with another man influencing your daughter to smoke one day, because that's what you're basically doing. Out here killing your insides to fit in. Shaking my head. With it or
Sheesh.
Quit it.
So, I've never liked the appearance of a woman smoking.
Okay.
I've never liked it. But at the same time, just like abortion, man, that's your choice. You feel me? What you doing with your body, what you doing with your spare time, that's on you. But me personally, I've never found it attractive when a woman smokes. I've never liked, like, that was never something that popped out to me like, oh, she's cool. Oh, damn, that's sexy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you were to have a daughter and she got into smoking and everything, like, how would you feel as a father?
Of course I would be against it. Off the simple fact, like I just told you, I'm not even with somebody I'm dating that's doing it.
Do now, you smoke?
No, actually I don't.
So
I had to, I had to pull away from blacks, weed, cigarettes, things of that nature that I was doing while I was in the military.
Okay.
Because it was killing my voice singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried out the little, portable hookah, the vape thing for a second, and then I eventually put that down too. And I just had to stop smoking for vocal reasons.
Yeah.
More so than it was anything else. Like, I really had to do it. Like, and I had to let it go. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I do miss it, but yeah, I had to let the whole smoking thing go. I did.
All right, so black celebrities want to claim being woke. Talk about African kings and queens and whatnot, but they don't even want to go to Africa. Rappers have egos bigger than the word ego to even elaborate with an African rapper and vice versa for actors and actresses. Don't claim something if you're not about it. With it or quit it.
I'm definitely with not claiming something if you're not about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, man, you know how our generation is. You know how celebrities are with social media. People like taking a stand when they're really not taking a stand. You know, they like being a part of the movement while it's moving. You know what I'm saying? To help their name, to help their music, to help their fashion, to help their show, to help whatever they have going on. Yeah, I'm definitely, you know what I'm saying? I'm with them not hopping on and not just joining something just to be a part of it or just to say they posted something. But you know, that's what it is, man. Everything's social media. Half of what we're doing, we're not actually going out and doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just doing it over our phone, you know.
So what you gonna be doing? What you gonna be about? DJ Alexander.
I'm gonna be about this music, and I'm gonna be about supporting other artists over here in the area. I wanna be that staple in the city that you take music and you take support, genuine, real support. You know what I'm saying?
What does that look like?
That look like, look at me. No, genuine, real support has a lot more to do with actually acting instead of, like, because a lot of the support we doing right now is, oh yeah, let me get some social media support. I've been a part of so many small shows or showcases and things of that nature where people are asking struggling artists to pay to be a part of a show or showcase that is technically supposed to help their exposure as an artist.
Yeah.
All right, so but this is you putting on for your city. This is you supporting artists. This is a showcase where they're supposed to be showcasing their talents. But you're asking struggling artists that you say you're just like or just were like to pay to get into something. Like,
yeah.
Well, fool, you just labeled me as a struggling artist. That's why I need to be in the showcase. Why would you be asking me to pay for it if you was really supporting me? Or you was really trying to support artists that are really about their music? Or if anybody can pay to come on the Kickback DMV, what would make me any better?
Yeah.
Or what would, you know what I'm saying, what would put me apart from all the rest of the artists? If anybody could just pay to get up here.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? If I could just, if anybody could pay to be on this showcase, what makes this showcase so great? What makes what makes this showcase so much better? What makes the artists that are in this showcase so much better than the other artists that are out there? So real support to me is if you're putting on something, if you're putting something together, actually taking your time and your efforts, whatever you're putting into it, whether it's monetarily, time-wise, wisdom, whatever it is, knowledge, you putting into it and you just putting into it wholeheartedly, you know what I'm saying, instead of, oh, everything has to run back to money. I do understand running a business.
Yeah.
You feel me? I understand running the business. I understand everybody wants their money, needs their money, that kind of thing. But support is actually taking action. It isn't liking a post. It isn't reposting something. Like,
being
if you're going to say, yeah, you know, being there, showing up, actually supporting, you feel me? Friends that swear up and down, yo, I'm going to come to the show, but they say, yo, look, we ain't seen you. And then when you do show up, you calling me talking about, hey, you got me on the guest list. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
And it's like, my man, it's $10 at the door. If you can't pay $10 to $20 to come support me, then I can't call you a supporter.
But you paying $10 to $20 to watch that movie.
And you paying $10, $20 to grab that bag that you're trying to go out back and smoke. You feel me? You did that before you came here, but you can't pay $20 to come in and support you. Support your friend or support somebody that you say that you follow,
yeah,
or a musician that you like.
Well, we about to really support you right now by listening to this song.
Okay.
What's this song called? Because I love it.
This song is called Looking, and it was written off the man's perspective of just loving the chase, seeing a new girl and loving the chase, like that genuine first time, first love kind of thing, you know. So, but Looking, it's a beautiful, beautiful little track.
Cause look at you, babe. I said, look at you, babe. Look at you, babe. Look at you, babe. You got it, girl, girl. You got it, girl, girl. You got it, girl, girl. You got it, girl, girl.
You got it, hey.
Look at you, babe. I said, look at you, babe. Look at you, babe. Look at you, babe.
You got it, girl, girl. You got it, girl, girl. You're dangerous. You're dangerous. Danger, danger.
Baby,
baby,
I'm the plug, be my lady,
lady, lady.
Your body persuading. This bedroom invasion.
So
when I get home, I'm gon' take care of you. When I get home, I put it down on you. Oh, babe. When I look at you, I'm crying like, oh, babe. When I get in you, you're crying like, oh, babe. I want you to leave.
All right, we are back. You're tuned into the Kickback DMV with me, Diamond B. Frazier, and this brother over here.
Yeah.
Who you be?
I am Jay Alexander. Jay Alexander.
He ain't anybody. He's the Jay Alexander. Don't forget that. All right, so we must get out here very soon, but I did see a couple of tweets. I just want to talk to you about a couple of them. You know?
Okay.
One of them says, swear y'all hoes ain't worth the time. And I use the word hoes as disrespectful as I possibly can. What in the world is that about? Who are you talking about? What hoe? You speaking to some hoe that it made you mad.
So like I told you, same thing I do when I go into music. It really is my personal situations and what I've seen personally firsthand. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you.
This was on November the 7th, so maybe you can give me
November
like,
the 7th?
Yeah, so
November,
roughly,
November.
Who was November. Around November?
Jeez, that was November. That was 2016.
Yeah.
That was, oh,
and
no. Well, actually, November, I was still in a relationship, so it was probably referring to somebody in the past.
Somebody made you upset.
Somebody in the past.
You were cheated on? Lied to?
Sheesh, Diamond. Not in November.
Oh,
but,
so in case she listened to this, you don't want it to be like it's her.
Yeah,
it's
nah.
Nah, it was you, girl.
It's definitely something old, man. It was definitely right. Something old.
But
I was
it hit you in November.
Nah, it didn't hit me in November. It tried to come back in November.
Oh, okay.
You feel me?
Okay.
I think if I'm thinking about the right thing, it tried to come back in November. Right. Had to make it known that it wasn't happening. You feel me?
All right, so a little bit before that, what you said, what brings women to asking a man they just met, why you want to talk to me? Because B, you bad. That's what you said. Like, why?
That's actually a quote from my brother.
Oh, okay.
My brother.
Do you agree with your brother? Because you tweeted it, or you just...
I've never understood why women, whether you find them attractive or not,
mm-hmm.
and you approach them or want to talk to them, it's a question comes back later, like, well, why you want to talk to me?
Yeah.
And it's always been a question to me, because, you know, even though everybody's not going to tell you the truth,
mm-hmm.
when you first talk to somebody, when you first meet somebody, obviously they're talking to you because they're attracted to you. They're looking at everything on the outside because they don't know you yet on the inside. So why ask me, why you want to talk to me? Well, obviously because you cute. That's what I mean.
I be asking that, especially when these little creepers be in my DM. I'm like, why me? It's so many beautiful women that look 10 times better than me on the gram. I'm like, what you gonna talk to me for?
Yeah. But not everybody's looking at it like that, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there could be somebody that you feel might be 10 times cuter than you on the gram.
Yeah, if it's surface, then why not go over there? Send out a mass message?
Nah, what I'm saying, well, maybe... Nah, I don't send out no mass messages.
Right.
But look, nah, maybe they attracted to just Diamond. How you know?
I don't know. That's why I asked. But you saying,
well, they
get.
But why would you ask? Why are you trying to talk to me when obviously you know it ain't because I know you?
Mm-hmm.
They obviously trying to talk to you because they think that you attractive or they find you beautiful.
Right.
I mean,
I've asked that question, and I get, well, the stuff you post, I can tell what kind of person you are. I know you don't
Nah,
know.
Nah, that's some BS. It ain't, you can't always tell what people post, because people be posting what they saying, what somebody else is saying, what other people are thinking, what they've heard. It ain't always just them.
So in July, you found a diamond in the rough. Is that somebody you still with currently?
Actually, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to her.
Yeah.
But you got mad at her in November, but y'all still strong.
Nah, I'm trying to tell you that November had nothing to do with her.
Oh, okay.
Diamond trying to put me out.
I'm
here,
not.
You trying to have
questions.
Me sleeping on the streets tonight, huh?
Of course.
No, you
not.
Wrong.
So where can they follow you in your journey, your next show, another Saturday Night Vibes? What's going
on? Yeah, Saturday Night Vibes is actually coming back on April 22nd.
Ooh.
And we're going to be in D.C.
We'll be there.
At the Smith Public Trust. Of course, the kickback will be on the guest list. But yeah, we're coming back. Rue Pratt is actually going to headline this one.
Wow.
So Rue is going to be back. She's been at every Saturday Night Vibes show, man. We done built up such a rapport. She's on the album. Rue's on my upcoming album, too.
Same.
Yeah, but so she's going to be headlining this show, which usually I was doing, you know, doing it at the end. So that's why I told you, you know, we're going to switch it up this time.
Okay.
But, of course, everybody can follow me at the J Alexander. Make sure it's J with an E, common spelling Alexander, you know, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, anywhere you put in THEJAE. Alexander is gonna pop up with me on top of djalexander.com.
Wow, that was the beginning of season 2, episode 1 with DJ Alexander. You are tuning to Kickback DMV. See you next week.
She heard the phone rings. Who is that, baby?